your Bibles with me to Exodus chapter 20. You ought to know by now where it begins and ends. The Ten Commandments as given to Moses, the people of God, Mount Sinai. And we're going to do this as we've been together, reading together. It will be easiest if you have the NIV, but even if you don't have the NIV, Ten Commandments are Ten Commandments, so you guys could just follow along as well. So let's recite the Ten Commandments together, chapter 20 of Exodus, verses 1 through 17. And God spoke all these words, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." Amen. So honoring mom and dad, I want to begin today by suggesting that for most of us, this commandment right here, to honor your father and your mother, might be the one we struggle with the most. And I think it is certainly true for me, in part because it is impossible for us to take this commandment and not think about it concretely, about what this might look like in our lives. So when you hear honor your father and your mother, you can't abstract that away like love your enemy or love your neighbor. And you just go, I love my neighbors, I love my enemies. But when you think father and mother, immediately for me, you're forced to think about your father, your mother, and if you're married, your mother-in-law and your father-in-law. And that creates problems for us, right? Because we don't get ourselves off the hook by saying, yes, I believe in honoring our parents in general, like we can with other things. But with this commandment, we cannot help but think, how am I doing? How am I honoring Mr. and Mrs. Hwi-Suk Cho? How am I doing honoring, you're going, who? How am I doing honoring Mr. and Mrs. Michael Chang? Not the tennis player, it just happens to be my father-in-law's name. And this brings up the second reason for why this commandment is such a struggle. Because when you think about your parents, as soon as you start to see these faces, your in-laws as well, not that we're ever critical of our in-laws, you can probably think of all the things that they do to make it difficult for you to honor them, right? You know it better than anybody else. You've lived with it all your life. Now, maybe some of you have this incredible relationship with your parents, incredibly perfect relationship with your parents, where there's nothing but positive memories. And I'm really not being sarcastic as I say that, okay? But in my experience, both in my personal life as well as in my life as a pastor, most of us have parents with flaws, sometimes very deep ones, sometimes very deep ones. And sometimes it's easy for us to honor them. Sometimes they'll do things or we get in a certain setting in which it's just totally easy for us to honor them. But other times, they can say that one thing or that do that one thing that will just throw you off emotionally more than anybody else can, right? Anybody live here? Just me again, okay. Thank you. I can still remember, and this happens, these are different things that happen differently at different stages of your life, but I remember back in college, my parents came to visit, my parents, they love to take people out for dinner. They love feeding people. I think that's one of my mom's spiritual blessings. I think hospitality is a spiritual gift for my father. So they wanted to take as many of my friends out for dinner. And this was back in college. We go out to a Chinese restaurant because it's always either Chinese or Korean with my parents. And we go out with a group of my friends. And during dinner, as we just sat down, my father let out the most thundering flatulence. The kind where you can't even pretend it was the chair. And there's nothing you can do except for, you know, among my friends to just laugh. And of course, during that time for me, now I think it's kind of funny, but at that time I was just devastated. I was going, this is so embarrassing. You just met my friends. This is what you treat them with? And it just, you know, I remember it just getting under my skin in such a way. Just one little act. Honoring is a struggle because parents have issues. Parents have issues. Here's the deal. God would not have made this a commandment if it was meant to be easy, if it was meant to be just obvious. He understands the reality and he knows our tendency. The commandment isn't also love your parents, love your mother and your father. That's not the commandment. Because many of us can claim to do that. I can look God in the eye and say, I love my mom, I love my dad. But if God were to come back and ask me, how have you honored them? Have you been honoring them? I think that might be a different story. I think I might score. Because honoring requires a certain type of action, a certain type of consistency, and it's possible for you to have good feelings. It's possible for you to love your parents and adore them and fail to do those things that convey honor. You guys agree? Okay. So this is, I think, part of the reason why we struggle with the fifth commandment. Now, one more thing, because the fifth commandment also has the sort of a ring where it seems like it's obvious, everybody knows, well, okay, now we just go home and honor our parents. We need biblical counsel, God's wisdom in this, if we're ever going to get this right. Partly because we've been struggling with this all our lives, because we haven't gotten it right, and we don't know how to do this right. But other part is because we think we already assume we know what honoring our parents looks like. Look, let me put my point this way. For the last few weeks, we've been learning about the Ten Commandments. Last week was remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy. No one would argue that that requires a biblical and theological understanding for us to do that right. A week before that, we talked about not misusing God's name in vain. No one would argue that that requires a theological and a spiritual understanding of what that means. But sometimes when we get to something like honor your parents, we think, well, we all know what it is. Let's just go out and do it. And we forget that God gives us this commandment in a particular way, in a particular context, with specific reason in mind. And I want for us to turn our attention to what God would have us understand about honoring our parents. Because I think that's where the beginning of wisdom for us in pursuing this difficult struggle begins. So let's look at the biblical context. And just open up your Bibles with me to Exodus chapter 20. And we're going to look at kind of broadly at verses 1 through 17. Let's review the placement of the Ten Commandments. Let's place this commandment in context for a moment. Now, generally speaking, for the first 4 weeks of this series, the first four commandments, what are the commandments concerned about? What sort of relationship? What relationship are the commandments concerned about? You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make idols. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord. Remember the Sabbath. What would you say? Relationship with God. Right. And generally speaking, what relationships would you say that the next six commandments are concerned about? Honor your father and your mother. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal, lie, covet. That has to do with relationships with each other, with other human beings. And that order is not accidental. You can't switch the order of the commandment 2 with 7 without losing something. I've been watching the baseball playoffs, and I promised myself several times at the very beginning of the baseball playoffs that I would not gloat or I would not say anything to mention how my team is doing, because it tends to incite some sort of a riot. But you know the way in which the batters come up to bat in baseball. It's not accidental, right? The leadoff batter, the second guy, the third guy, the cleanup hitter, the fifth hitter. There's an incredible logic and precision to why each of these batters bat in a specific order. The manager didn't just say, hey, who wants to go next? Who wants to go to the plate next? There's a logic to it. They're supposed to build on one another. And it is the same thing with the Ten Commandments. God had a reason for giving us the Ten Commandments in the order. And the logic of the order is this. It is that we can only begin to understand what it means to love others when we start with correctly understanding what it means to love God. How we live, how we ought to live and love one another is derived from how we live and worship God. Jesus said it like this when he was asked, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And this is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second, he said, is like it, but different. Like it, he said, love your neighbor as yourself. We love because God first loved us. He wants for us to love and honor others in the way that God has taught us. Our relationship with God sets the tone. Our love with God defines our love for others. It's not the other way around. Honoring God is the larger circle, and honoring our parents is a subset of responsibilities within that. I say this because often the command to honor one's parents, especially if you come from an Asian what you would say a Confucian background, is to use that commandment almost against the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. You put honoring God or honoring your parents, and you put this in contradiction against each other at times, and we have to understand the Ten Commandments are very specific in the order that it gives to us. It says, love God first. That is the primary mode. That is the primary definition. And then let me show you how that works and looks in the lives of other people, other relationships you have surrounding you. To honor our parents, we have to understand what it means to honor God. More importantly, when we understand the right order, there are some distinct implications. Let me just just state two. These are like not even points, so don't consider these real points. Because I got points after this, so you guys are going to be like wondering. These are just little side things I just want to illustrate. The first implication is that one of the most important ways in which some of us have been called to honor our parents is through, I think, forgiveness. Why do I say that? As we have been forgiven, we are called to forgive. As grace defines our relationship with God, grace defines our relationship with others. And as grown children, we have to learn to forgive our parents for their failures in parenting. I think that's one of the primary implications when God defines our relationship with our parents. Second implication from the right ordering of things is that we need to understand that as parents, and here, this one is actually big, bigger than most of us will, I think, realize, is that as parents, that this honor is not absolute. And we cannot demand it of our children. The honor of our children as parents is a gift from God, an unexpected blessing. And we have to approach it as such. Not arrogantly, not self-righteously, not heavy-handedly, but humbly, as a gift, as a blessing. And there are things that we can do. Namely, we can dishonor God when we ought not to expect it. With that said, let's turn our attention to what it means to honor our parents. And I see three basic ways. I want to point out three basic ways in which honoring takes place, honoring of our parents takes place in Scripture. First, to honor our parents means to respect them. Seems pretty obvious. The word honor, the word that gets translated honor, the Hebrew word underneath that is kavod, and it literally means to make heavy, to make something heavy. So, use it in a sentence. I was kavod after finishing my third serving of pasta. Okay. That the same word, kavod, to make heavy, is used of God when we use the word, and it gets often translated in the Old Testament as glory, glorify. So the idea is that when we glorify God, we're recognizing and treating God as heavy, not lightly. His presence is heavy and real. Okay? So the first aspect of honor is to respect our parents, to treat them with weight, and treat them with dignity. We do this in part because we're recognizing the weight, the load that parents carry. Parents carry the weight, very heavy weight, of shaping our values, forming our self-image, building the basis of our self-worth, helping us develop the basis of our significance and security, and giving us initial ideas about who God is. Every time during Easter, we have a baby dedication. And one of the things that I always emphasize during baby dedication time is to remember that our children are a gift. Children are not ours for keeping in one sense, but ours that has been granted to us for a time as a gift. Now, this is huge, huge understanding of what's happening when parents take on that responsibility, because it is a responsibility that we take on, most of us take on, without any classes or certification or having passed certain tests, and we fail every day. I told you guys this story about how when I was a youth pastor way back, I used to advise parents more than twice my age all the time. And they would seek my advice on how to raise their kids. And I also told you about that time just a little while back when Lucy was three, when we were sitting around and I told her, Lucy, you really need to listen, otherwise you're going to get time out. And she came back to me with a very smart reply of, well, then I want time out. And just to let her know who's the boss, I let her know. I could beat her at that strategic game, and I let her know. Then I told her, then you're not getting timeout. No timeout for you. And it just kind of threw her off completely, so much that she walked away laughing. I mean, smiling or something, whatever. And Esther just, whether she said it super loud yelling or she just mouthed it, she said to me, you know, that was brilliant. Genius. There might have been sarcasm there. I'm not sure. But you go into parenting with this huge sense of responsibility, but you don't know all the answers. And this is a burden. This is a right, not a negative burden, a burden, a delightful burden, but it is a burden nonetheless. It is a huge responsibility. And one of the reasons why we honor our parents is to say that, hey, I recognize that you didn't pass any tests. I recognize that you were born the way you are because of your parents. I recognize that you have your limitations, that you have your issues, and in fact, there was no condition for working out your issues. It was by the grace of God alone that God gifted you with me. Don't say that like that to your parents. And I recognize that, and I recognize the weightiness of that responsibility, of that authority, and I recognize how hard that is. And sometimes when we become parents ourselves, we recognize that. Sometimes we don't. But part of the reason why we honor our parents, we give them respect and treat them with weight, is because we recognize that what they have been given to raise you, me, is not an easy thing to do always. Parents have this responsibility. What does this look like? How do you show your parents respect in everyday life, everyday terms? I can think of two very concrete ways in which this might get worked out. One is to include them. One is simply to include them in your conversations, in your thinking process, in your life. And the second is to listen to them. You might think that it's automatic if you include somebody in a conversation that you would listen to them, but for many of us, we include somebody in a conversation, and it's about them listening to us, right? We include them in our conversations. One of the things that you do as teenagers, one of the first things that you do as teenagers, as you grow into adolescence and you realize, wow, there are certain parts of my life that's my own, and you become really protective, and you start excluding your parents from certain conversations. So even a simple question of like, so how was school, will be like, none of your business, right? This is teen years. I'm not there yet. I never said that, but you seem so shocked that somebody would say that. But I mean, this is what teens do. This is what we did. We exclude our parents from our decision-making process. We exclude our parents from conversations. We exclude our parents in many different ways. And some of this is a good thing. There is definitely a identity that's being formed. There is definitely a positive way in which this helps us grow into maturity. That's for sure. But we can exclude too much. We can exclude in such a way that it denies people access into our lives. We could exclude in such a way that it really shows disrespect to our parents. So we make decisions that, especially now as many of you are growing into an age in which you are making decisions on behalf of your parents, right? How many of you guys are in that situation? You have to make certain decisions on behalf of your parents. And they're coming to you more and more about certain things, whether or not they should do it. And there are times in which they will make a mistake in a decision, and they'll come to you and say, what should I do? And sometimes our response is simply to say, you should have talked to me first before you did any of this. The way in which I think we show respect, I think, to our parents as they become older is to include them in our conversations. And we listen to them. We listen to them. We listen to their advice, their discipline, and their guidance. Proverbs says, a wise son accepts his father's discipline, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. So we listen. We listen. We include them in the conversation. Such respect, however, is not absolute. Again, children, especially as they grow older, are to weigh the parents' input against your own thoughts a little bit, but mostly, mainly, the one that is justified in the Bible is we weigh it against God's input. Okay? We're called to respect God first. We're called to honor God first. So Jesus, who absolutely upholds the fifth commandment, also says to us, the one who loves father, one who loves his father or his mother more than me is not worthy of me, and the one who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Matthew 10. We are to honor our parents in the context of honoring Jesus as Lord. As the Lord of my life, Jesus has the last word over my decisions, of my life's work, my values, my goals, my way of life, over my self-perception. If, indeed, one's parents do not accept the lordship of Jesus, then it's going to be very, very difficult for us. It puts us in a bind. It does. And in such a case, parents may get hurt. For a child is called to respect and honor the input of God over and against the input of our parents. That being said, and I'm absolutely, I stand by what I just said, but that being said, I think we have to be very, very careful when we say, this is what God is telling me that's allowing me to not listen to my parents. Because we have to be absolutely sure. And a lot of times we put into God's mouth our words, our desires. And we have to be careful about that. But the right ordering is honor God, honor parents. But we show respect to our parents. We honor our parents by respecting them, including them and listening to them. Second, to honor God means to obey them. Gosh, I really wish that I could have avoided using that O word. That's hard. Obedience, I'll tell you personally, I think I have some authority issues. Don't laugh so much. Don't laugh so knowingly, like, ha, 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 like, of course. I do, and it's hard obeying. I think I grew up in a church setting, and I think this is, I hate to blame my church, and I'm not trying to blame a church, but I'm blaming some people within my spiritual life, where obedience was just kind of shoved down your throat. And it was in the context of obey me, because I represent God over and against everybody else. And I think that's why I have some issues with that. And Esther will tell you the times in which I still struggle with people telling me exactly what to do, and then that's an issue for me. And it's not necessarily a good thing that I struggle with this. But to honor our parents means to obey them. And by the way, I'm saying this because I hope it gives some of you guys the freedom to say, yes, I struggle with this also. Because I don't think I'm alone in this. We read in Proverbs, my son, observe the commandment of your father, and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. So that's a vivid picture. Bind them around your heart and tie it around your neck, what your parents tell you to do. Apostle Paul has to go on and make this absolutely clear. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And he's thinking about, clearly he's thinking about the fifth commandment. So for Apostle Paul, he's thinking about honoring your parents, that means obedience. Obeying your parents pleases God because it honors God's ordering of human life, God's ordering of social order. Apostle Paul even goes on to say, describe disobedience to parents as a sign of the end of times, as an expression of a fallen world, and he puts it on the same level as, you know, those who have fallen, they did not even think it worthwhile to attain knowledge of God. He gave them over to be depraved, to a depraved mind, to do what ought not to be done. They become filled with all kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity, envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, gossip, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. It's like, on a list of that, really, Paul? Really, Apostle Paul? On the level that high? Wow. That seems pretty darn serious. So obedience is a high value. Now again, such obedience is not absolute. And I ought to here note a cultural thing. And I really struggle with this message because I don't know how many of us are so aware, are fully aware of many of our cultural background, especially if you come from an Asian Confucian background. One of the primary virtues of a Confucian culture is what's called filial piety, right? The honoring of respect of parents at the highest level, and that's considered absolute. And sometimes when you hear the fifth commandment and it says honor your parents, we think it's the same thing. But here it's not absolute. Not absolute in social terms, but because we ought to honor God first. Not because we ought to just disagree, but because we ought to honor God first. Now, do not use the Lord's name in vain and put God's name as a reason for disobeying your parents when it's plainly not. Okay? But it is not absolute in the Ten Commandments. Children grow toward adulthood and develop other relationships also, which also call for obedience. We have obligations of those relationships which may at times conflict with requests of parents. One relationship that, if you have ever done pre-marriage counseling with me, is marriage. That I always emphasize is marriage. When a son marries, he owes greater allegiance to his wife than his parents. In Genesis, it says this plainly, a man shall leave his mother and his father, and be united with his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Marriage calls for a new loyalty, a loyalty that is stronger than the ties of blood. A man shall leave his father and his mother, and be united with his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Okay? The absolute obedience, however, that we're being asked to give is the only one to whom that we give absolute obedience is Jesus Christ. This is the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. And this is in part because, as we've been saying, parents, and many of you are parents, we know we are not perfect. So we would love to convey God's ideas and godly advice all the time. But sometimes, it's just not reality. If you're younger in college or still looking for a career, one of the things that you have to do then is, how then do you weigh godly desires, godly virtues, versus some of the things that maybe you have been taught? So maybe, and they don't always give godly counsel. It's true, parents. I don't always give godly counsel to my children, even though they're only 4 and 2. So in the area of careers, possibly, Maybe some of you guys grew up with parents that, you know, whatever you do, you just need to make sure that you make a lot of money. It's very, very important. People say it's not important. That's all idealism. That's in your 20s. But you need to make lots of money. Because once you have that, you have security. You have everything else. You have stability. That's a really high important thing that you need to look for. Don't go for that career because you can't make any money that way. You're going to be starving for too long, okay? And maybe that's the advice that some of your parents may have given you. And it's not necessarily a wicked advice or evil advice, but it is opposed to some of the things that you may see the Bible, the scripture telling you how to choose careers and choose your vocation. And it may be contrary to that. Some of you guys also get lots of advice, especially if you're single. And some of you guys may remember, even if you're married, getting advice on how to choose a spouse. And that may have been, they may have listed certain things as virtues and important in terms of what to look for in a spouse. Sometimes you find out after the fact, after you bring home somebody, and they say, but this person's not this, this, and this. And you just go, I didn't even know those were your values. And we may have to weigh that against how God values people, and the things that we're supposed to find as virtues in human beings. So we have to go against the advice, sometimes the command of our parents. Other times, in a difficult situation, we get lots of advice from our parents about how to resolve difficult situations in our marriages, how to deal with conflict, how to get your spouse to do something you want them to do that they don't want to do. And it may get into an area of manipulation. It may get into an area that you go, you know, I see how that works with Dad, but do I really want to bring that in to my marriage? Is that something that is honoring of God? See, as we honor our parents, if the honoring of our parents dishonors God somehow, if the honoring and obeying of our parents dishonors God somehow, that's probably a good sign that we need to think a little bit deeper about what it means to honor our parents at that time. Because the way in which we honor our parents best is to honor God first. We see this tension in the life of Jesus as well. When as a young boy, he submitted himself to his parents' direction and leadership. But when he was 12 years old, he was found in the temple courtyards, arguing and debating with teachers of the law. And the parents looked all over for him, and he says, son, his mother says to him, son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching all over for you. And Jesus replies, why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? So there is a distinct way in which Jesus says, my obedience to my Father is, my Heavenly Father is first. But then immediately, 3 verses later, it says, Jesus submitted himself to the household, continued in subjection to them. We honor our parents by respecting them. We honor our parents by obeying them. The third way in which we honor our parents is to care for them. To honor our parents, to accept the weight of their needs. And such care of our parents is going to look differently at different times. When we're younger, it might simply be a way of protecting their reputation and guarding their dignity. We care for them. We care for our parents when we're younger, I think, by not shaming them, not advertising their flaws and their faults, or at least sharing their faults only when those who can help us can help them. And we can care for our parents when we get older, when they can no longer provide for themselves with their needs, with their physical needs as well. One of the things that was happening, and you have to remember the Ten Commandments, one of the most important things that you have to understand about any writing, any speech or a commandment or anything given to us is to remember, what is the audience? That's one of the first rules of public speaking. You don't forget the audience. That's the first thing you need to know. Who is my audience? Who is the audience that God was giving the Ten Commandments to? He was giving it to grown people, grown men specifically. So he was talking about honoring your parents in the context, not inside of a home, in terms of caring for your parents when they're elderly. And he talks about this. That was the original situation. And one of the things that was happening was that people of his time would actually let the parents, people of that time in the Ten Commandments, and when the Ten Commandments was given, was actually kicking out their elderly parents. They were neglecting the responsibility to care for the parents when they got older. They had their own pressing needs, they had their own family, they had everything else, they had their own stuff to do. So they were saying they were neglecting the parents as they grew older. And so this is a direct charge to say, do not forget your parents as they get older. Honor them. Care for them. You have a responsibility. Just as much as they had responsibility over you when you were little babies, now they need to be cared for. I can make a commentary about how this is such a weird thing to hear in our culture, but I think you guys can all kind of understand that, and we'll just leave that. One of the ways I think we can care for our parents as they age is when we are called to make decisions on their behalf. I already talked about making sure that they're included in the conversations. But when we're called to make decisions on their behalf as we care for them, we can't just make decisions on what is just best for them. I'm talking very concretely, especially in medical situations. They are not our children. To treat them with dignity says that we don't just make decisions on simply to say, this is what is best for them, so therefore I think this is the decision that we're going to push them to make or tell them to make or even make the decision on their behalf. But rather to say, how do we honor them? How do we treat them with respect? How do we give them dignity? You know, I tend to think my parents are a fairly well-adjusted and emotionally pretty stable sort of people. Growing up, I always thought that they were pretty emotionally stable, and even in their elderly stage, I think, you know, relative to what I know is difficult for senior life, they're relatively stable in their emotional life. That said, it is very hard for them to know that there are certain decisions that they can no longer make for themselves. They struggle with depression. It's just part of the expectation when their friends start passing, when they find their body simply cannot do what it once did, when they find different ways in which the law is limiting what they can do and what they're not allowed to do, and then when they find that our children, their children, begin to limit what they can do and what they can't do, it's very, very hard for them. It doesn't mean, of course, to say if you're, you know, if your father is struggling with driving and it's just physically beyond his ability to drive anymore, for you to simply say, well, you know, I'm going to honor you and I don't want you to get depressed, so I'm going to, you know, help you cheat your way through and get your driver's license. It doesn't mean that. But it means balancing this sense of, I know what's best for you, with how do I respect you and treat you with dignity in a time in which so many of your physical attributes are starting to fail, and you know your time with us on earth is limited. How do you include them in conversations? That's going to be different for each one of our parents, right? But we do need to begin to include them. We can't baby them because they're not our children. We don't get to just make decisions for them. We need to respect and give them dignity. But that's hard. And that's a hard burden now. Responsibility that you're being called to take up. As God says to you, honor, honor, respect, obey, care for your parents. It's going to look differently for each and every one of you. Honoring can be viewed as something we do out of obligation. But like, the better way of thinking about it is like everything else about God and human relationships, it is the means of releasing grace. I would just want to close with a little story about a friend. Some of you guys may remember a story that I mentioned about a friend of mine who is now a colleague in ministry, a father of two kids, and a wonderful husband to a godly woman. But when I first met him, I was his youth pastor, and he was just a kid, a teenager, touched by God, but also full of anger, full of anger. In fact, by the time I had gotten to know him, he had already two citations or misdemeanor violations for getting into fights. If he had gotten a third fight, he would have qualified for the three strikes law and been put away for life in prison. Why was he so angry, especially as a teen? All of us are angry, but he had a particular reason. We sat down one time, and he began to tell me that the woman that he calls his mother was not his mother, but his stepmother. And he told me that his real mother was, in fact, a prostitute, and that his father had a fling with her one time, and she abandoned him as a baby at his father's home. He told me at a later time that he actually tried to find her, and she completely denied having him as a son. They hid none of this background story from him, his family. His stepmother let him know that he was not hers throughout his entire life, and his father was so obviously full of regret and guilt whenever he looked into his face that they could never really have a real deep relationship. How does someone like that, someone in his situation, honor his parents? The young man, by the grace of God, found a wonderful right path and found a wonderful godly young woman to help him in this path as well. And they got married. And by this time, his parents were struggling with their finances. So they actually stole some of the money that was given to him as a wedding gift. We're talking about someone messed up parentage. But he and his wife chose, they knew what was going on. He and his wife chose the way of grace throughout all this. He didn't always choose the way of grace, but this time he chose the way of grace through all of this. And they consciously, as difficult as it was, made the decision to honor them, to respect them, to obey them when it did not mean disobeying God, and to care for them as best as they could. You want to know the power of grace? His story, ultimately, he was looked upon as the rock of his family. This bastard child became the rock of this family. And his family looked to him. His parents in their old age looked to him to guide and care for them. And more importantly, learn about who God is and his grace through his life and his care. What my friend did was do nothing less than to break the cycle of disgrace that would have been poured out if he had kept all of those things, and if he chose to dishonor, if he chose to just deny and neglect his parents. He broke that cycle of dishonor, and he benefited. More importantly, I think, as the Ten Commandments are telling us, what was broken was a cycle of disgrace, but now his children have this new cycle, a new pattern, a new model of grace that they can follow in their lives. I think honoring our parents, as hard as it is, if we understood it as a way of releasing God's grace in our world to those people that are sometimes the closest to us, but at the same time, the furthest from us, I think we can begin to see how this gets worked out in our lives. Let's pray. As you love us, may we love our parents. As you grace us, may we grace our parents. As you teach us, honor. As we live in worship of you, may we be challenged to take one step further, one step more into honoring our parents in a way that delights you. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you all stand with me?